Be seated. Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may the Spirit of God be always present. Amen. This week, I was driving along Marine Avenue, the bit that goes in front of the water, and a bald eagle, and I do mean the biggest bird I've ever seen this close, came soaring into view at eye level and was going the same speed as the truck. I had a hard time keeping the truck on the road, obviously. And as it soared along next to me, it turned its head very briefly as though to say, "Hello." A group of trees from the seawall broke our little interlude. And I gasped, honestly, at the sight. And then suddenly it was gone. I looked for it on the other side of the trees, but as I had continued past, it must have taken up a perch somewhere. Nowhere to be seen. It was an incredible sight and truly bizarre to see something like that and then open the readings and find that we are already at Ascension Sunday and hearing how Jesus rose into heaven in front of them, but then suddenly removed from their sight. Like the eagle, the year is flying by, and I can see what everyone is thinking. Good Lord, it is only 218 days to Christmas. You're welcome. You're welcome. Like the first disciples, we find ourselves in a period of time where we are asking the Spirit to guide us into what comes next. We find ourselves praying for guidance, for the Spirit to focus us on the will of God here in this time and place. And it is an exciting thing to do. It is an exciting time to think about the future. But I know that there are also fears associated with that, because not knowing what comes next can create anxiety. And I accept that. When we're excited for something, and yes, I am thinking about Christmas again, time does seem to drag on. So like kids in the back seat of a car asking, "Are we nearly there yet?" Things are not moving along like we'd like them to, and we're left in a limbo wondering, what's next? This is a question that the first disciples were also asking themselves. What's next? Jesus says, "It is not for us to know the times or places of things," and instructs them instead to pray and to wait. And instead of responding with despair and hiding in an upstairs room like they did after he was laid in the tomb, they follow his instructions and go to Jerusalem to wait and to bless God with thanksgiving and prayer in the temple. Perhaps they had come to an understanding that Jesus wasn't leaving them, instead that he was going to prepare a place for them, like we heard a couple of weeks ago. What happens next? Also, a question for us as we hit that last chapter of Luke. And the answer, as was read to us this morning by Neil, is of course the book of Acts. Same writer wrote both books, so that's kind of the next step. We get to hear Luke's account of the gospel and what happened after, making it a rather special duo. Jesus ascended and the early church began. The disciples essentially began to act. But why couldn't he send them the Holy Spirit right away so they could just get on with it? After all, he'd said to them, "Go spread the good news to the ends of the ages and I'll be with you, but go on, lads, out you go." No, instead God makes them wait, not to be difficult or because parents driving a long way like to hear kids constantly asking, "Are we there yet?" God uses a pause, like a good piece of music, that breaks are as important as the notes being played. They provide us with an opportunity to hear differently. While they waited, they devoted themselves to prayer, the breaking of bread, and the teaching of the apostles. They went and learned how to be a community that waits on God and takes the time to pray and discern. Does that sound familiar? They needed to learn that God initiates the work of the Holy Spirit. It is not a bizarre ghostly power that we get to use over others or for our own will. Rather, it is a gift of power that comes to us and guides us through times like these, good times, bad times, even got us through COVID, didn't it? When I was at Holy Cross and we were in the middle of the COVID-19, gathering online and worshiping from our homes, the late Gwen Larmacraft, who has family here in town, she was my vicar's warden. And at the time, she shared with me a piece she read in Forward Day by Day, which is a daily devotion that I think some of you are probably familiar with. The piece she sent me said it was taken from the archives of December 3rd, 1942. The person being quoted was Lord Lothian. And I'm going to adapt his words not to speak about the Great Second World War or Hitler as he did, but applied to our context right here in Powell River. None of us believes that God wills times of being tired or unsure about the future of our church. Its numbers and finances falling short. No, for that is contrary to the whole spirit of Christ, and we seek to banish it from the earth. But we do believe that God sometimes works in crisis moments through bravery, sacrifice, and obedience, and through times like these to teach us what sin does to the world and to turn it away from us. Times like these, of us who have been freed by the love of Jesus to abandon the selfishness of materialism, which have been its undoing. He's basically speaking about fear and doubt in the face of the unknown. We cannot believe in the God who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and not believe that God is concerned with the struggle taking place on this earth. Let us ask God to show us what it means. He points again to returning to prayer and asking for help. So the message then is that we are not alone in this time of not being sure what's going to happen next, and we're certainly never alone. As we approach the great feast of Pentecost and celebrate once more the coming of the Holy Spirit on the first disciples, let us remember that across time, those who have made up the church have listened to the words of Paul and believed them. So listen again to this excerpt from the letter we heard to the Ephesians today. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you or to remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know the hope to which he has called you. That is what we are called to. We are called to a hope right here in Powell River. Now, going through the survey responses has been a lengthy task, and I thank you all for your input. But already, God is revealing glimpses of where we are being called in this place and what has been prepared for us to serve. And we'll talk as a community more about this on June 4th when we gather for coffee hour for the feedback on the survey and begin honing in where to focus our efforts. When Gwen Larmacraft shared that piece from Forward Day by Day with me, she was stuck in an assisted living where she resided. She was not allowed any visitors, and she turned 90 years old in isolation. We spoke every week, and sometimes I would wave to her as I cycled past her place on my way to check on the empty church building. She once shared with me that at the beginning she felt useless because of the isolation. She could not do anything to help. However, she was prepared to try, and she began calling every single member on the parish list to check on them and let them know they were being prayed for every Sunday afternoon after the online worship. She said, I can't do much with my 90-year-old body, weak and vulnerable as it is, but I can do that. She was also committed to remaining in and working with the church as she encountered it. So this lady of 90, with the help of a care aide at the door and me on the phone, opened the internet for the first time on her iPad. The first time, 90 years old, and had never opened an internet browser. She'd used it for FaceTime and email, and she admitted the occasional game of solitaire, a guilty pleasure. But until she had seen no reason to use the internet when the local library had done quite well, thank you. The reason I tell you this is twofold. Firstly, Gwen was a person that I admired greatly because she inspired me to focus not on what couldn't be done, but on what was possible with what she understood as the gifts God had given her. She said to me, I have a ready mind, and if I have to learn the internet, well, I have some time now. She never missed a Zoom church session. She never missed a Zoom Bible study once she had figured it out. She looked at what she had available to her in her 500 square foot dwelling, and she did the work of a disciple. She committed to prayer, she picked up the phone, and she did what she could. Gwen taught me that no matter how tired your body is or how out of touch you think you are, there is no reason why all of us who follow Christ and believe in the gospel and believe that it is worth spreading to the end of the age can't contribute something. Our survey has shown us that our community is made up of people who are mostly between the age of 70 and 79. Spring chickens, as she would say. When I consider what a nonagenarian who eventually succumbed to cancer was able to do for God from a tiny place in Vancouver alone, I cannot wait to see what is possible with an army of 70-somethings. Jesus is leading the way with the Spirit reading the map for us. And all we have to do is put one foot in front of the other and step into the book of Acts 2.0 right here in Powell River. It will take faith and commitment and determination and focus, but there is no reason that this little church cannot grow and flourish as I know it has done many times before in the past, because the church is sitting right here in front of me. Amen.